Welcome to Pirkei Hashanim Shir on Hilchas Shabbos. We're doing volume 2, lesson number 1. We will be learning the Mechaber in Simen Resh Samach Hei, Sif Gimel, and Sif Dalet. The halacha of Bittel Kli Meichana is discussed over here, and also some other halachas regarding putting kelim underneath a nir. Mechaber says in Sif Gimel, "A noisnin kli b'shabbos tachas a nir lekabel shemen hanoitiv." One should not place any vessel underneath an oil lamp to catch any dripping oil. Mepneshu mevatel kli meheichonoi. He is putting a keli out of commission. He's making the keli unusable. Umutter litna mi baidyoim, but you are allowed to put it there before Shabbos. Vashem and hanoitiv, any oil that drips into this pan. Oser lehistapik mi menu b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to use that oil that drips into the pan on Shabbos, even though it's edible olive oil, it may not be used because it is muktzeh. Hagav oser ligar b'ner doil kashu toloi. One may not touch a hanging oil lamp, afal pi she'ena metaltaloi, even though he's not moving it, ve'ein bo mishum muktzeh b'negia ba'alma, and just touching a muktzeh is not an iser of muktzeh. Mikom akoim aser, but still we're afraid not they shouldn't touch it. Mipen yisnadneit ketzas b'negia asoi. The oil lamp might move when he touches it. Vyata, and that will tip the oil to the lamp. So this latter part is discussing an issue of touching the oil lamp, which is a separate issue, which we will discuss a little bit further on as we explain the first part of the halacha b'tel kli meichonoi first, and then we will go off to this side issue of the touching of the muktzeh that the Ramah brings up. So in the shir, we discuss the bittul kli meichonoi aspect of this halacha. In the Mishnah in Shabbos, daf mem beis, amud beis, discusses this halacha of not putting a container or a bowl underneath a dripping oil lamp on Shabbos. And it's also to put it there. Rashi says why. In the second pshat of Rashi, Rashi explains that it's also to put the bowl over there is because of mevatel kli meheichonoi. What is the issa of mevatel kli meheichonoi of putting a keli out of commission, so to speak? So Rashi explains over here that the iser is like boina. This is an iser drabonon. They asked it because it is like you are building. What are you building? By putting this keli underneath the dripping oil, which will make it muktzah, so then you will not be able to move the bowl anymore on Shabbos, and it's like you are affixing it to its position, and that is like boina. So being that it resembles boina, that's why the Chachamim asked bittel kli meheichonoi on Shabbos. Rashi on Daf Kuf Nun Dalet Amud Beis discusses this as well, and he says a little bit different. He says that the Isser is Soyser. Soyser is you're destroying the use of the Keli. And by destroying the use of the Keli, it's similar to the Malacha of demolition. And that being the case, the Chachamim asered bittel kli meichonoi. So it could either be the Chachamim asered it because of boina, like Rashi says over here, and it could be because of seiser. It's not a steer, it could be one or the other. So by placing the keli to catch the muktzeh oil, so the muktzeh oil will now make the keli immobilized, and therefore it's like either boina or it's like seiser. What is the muktzeh of the oil? So the muktzeh of the oil is because there's muktzeh machmas iser. There is an iser to take oil out of a burning oil lamp because by doing so you are reducing the amount of time that the lamp will burn. You're taking away the fuel from the fire. Taking away fuel from the fire is an iser of kibui, of putting out and extinguishing, which may not be done on Shabbos. That being the case, the oil is basically stuck and designated for this purpose, and it cannot be removed, being it cannot be removed, so it becomes muktzah. So generally speaking, when you light an oil lamp before Shabbos, so it becomes already muktzah right at the beginning of Shabbos. So even though later on Shabbos, when the fire extinguishes and you have some leftover olive oil in the lamp, one may not utilize that because it remains muktzah. Because we hold that in such a case that it was muktzah at the beginning of Shabbos when Shabbos commenced, so immediately it's katsoy bein hashmashah. Since bein hashmashah, it was aser for you to take the oil from the oil lamp because of the iser kibui, that makes it muktzah at that point of Shabbos. And at the beginning of Shabbos, it was muktzah, so it remains muktzah even after the fire goes out and there's no longer a concern of kibui, but the oil remains muktzah the entire Shabbos. Anything that was muktzah at the beginning of Shabbos remains muktzah the entire Shabbos. That's migu the is katsoy. Since it became muktzah at the beginning of Shabbos by bein hashmashas, it remains muktzah even later when the iser is no longer there. Now, regarding putting a keli underneath a wax candle, and you're afraid the wax candle's tipping, and you want to make sure it doesn't fall onto the tablecloth, so you want to put a keli underneath it to catch it. Is that also considered bitul kli mehechane, because the wax candle will fall onto the keli and thereby make the keli muktzah? So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Hagoyis Ashri. Hagoyis Ashri says that one may place a bowl underneath a candle that looks like it's going to fall, because even if it falls into the bowl, you could still tip the candle out of the bowl after it fell there. So what we're saying is that even after it falls into the bowl, it's possible to tip it off, and even though the candle is still burning, you could tip it off into a place that it's safe, let's say back on, if it would be able to be tipped onto a surface that is not going to burn. So then you're allowed to do that on Shabbos because your intention is not to leave it there in the bowl on Shabbos. So it's not a bitul kli mehechane. So this really has to do with an issue of basis ledavar ha'aser. Basis ledavar ha'aser is that when you have something that is holding a muktzah, and generally speaking, if something is placed, let's say you put money into a bowl before Shabbos, so that bowl becomes muktzah because it's holding the muktzah. It's a basis ledavar ha'aser. In this case over here, it's not a problem because being that it's possible to tip the candle out, especially if the candle falls into the bowl and extinguishes, it's very easy just to tip it out. That being the case, and that's your intention, so you are allowed to put the bowl underneath the candle because it's not bitul kli mechane, because the bowl will not become muktzah since you could tip it out right away. As opposed to the case where you have oil that's dripping, you don't want to spill the oil because you really want to save the oil, because when the oil dripped out of the oil lamp and it was in the container, that they would save it to use it, either use it again for next week or to use it for eating. They would use that oil, so they didn't want to spill it out. So if you didn't want to spill it out, so you wanted to remain in the container, so the container becomes a holder, a basis for the muktzah oil that's dripping in on Shabbos, so then it's considered bitul kli mechane. But over here, by the wax candle, it's different, because the wax candle, your intention is to tip it out. So it's only going to be there momentarily, and then after that you plan on tipping it out, so it's not considered bitul kli mechane. However, the Beis Yosef does not understand it exactly like that. Beis Yosef holds that really this issue with the wax candle falling into the bowl is temporarily going to be holding the wax candle, and that's where you want it to fall. And that being the case, it really depends on another machlekes in Siman Shin Tes regarding the iser of making something muktzah for a short amount of time on Shabbos. If that is considered making a basis ledavar ha'aser, if it's only going to be there for a short amount of time. And it's a machlekes over there whether it's considered a basis davar aser if something will be on a keli only for a part of the Shabbos and the rest of the Shabbos will not be there. For example, if someone puts something in a bowl that's muktza, and he knows that a goy will come and take it and remove it from the bowl on Shabbos, so he knows it's not going to be there the entire Shabbos, is that considered a basis davar aser? So the Beis Yosef says it really depends on that machlokes over here. When the wax candle falls into the bowl, so it's going to be there a little bit of time. While it's there, it's holding the muktza, even though later on you're going to tip it, l'chayr, you're not going to be able to tip it if it becomes a basel sadavar aser. So you know, it's going to be dependent on that halacha over there. The Magen Avraham says he doesn't agree with the Beis Yosef's comparison because where you're putting it before Shabbos into a bowl and you're putting something mux in a bowl, so it becomes a basis for part of Shabbos. So granted, it's going to be removed on Shabbos, let's say, by a goy. So you know it's not going to be there the entire Shabbos. So over there we have a machlokes because at the beginning of Shabbos was migud iskatsoi, at least in that point of time it was holding the muktzah. And then you hold it's migud iskatsoi for beginning of Shabbos, and even though it's going to be removed later on, that's considered a basis. But over here, it's not considered a basis because you don't intend to keep it there the entire Shabbos. You intend to tip it out. And also because it wasn't there at the beginning of Shabbos. It wasn't there at the beginning of Shabbos. You don't have the Migas Katsoy aspect. So therefore, it's not a problem of being muktza because of a basis for that amount of time at the beginning of Shabbos, even though over there it's a machlaikis. Over there it's a machlaikis because at least it was beginning of Shabbos, it was Aser, and later on it was going to be removed. Maybe that doesn't help you, but over here it wasn't there at the beginning, and your plan is to tip it out, so it does not become a basis because you don't really want it to hold it, and it was not there at the beginning of Shabbos, so it does not make it a basis davar Aser. And therefore, the Magen Avraham does not think it depends on that machlokes. According to everybody, such a case should be mutter to put the bowl underneath the fallen candlestick to catch it because it's not going to remain there and it's not going to become a basis, so it's not bittel kli mechana because it's not going to be muksa at all. There's another case regarding the oil lamp, which the Maril talks about, which is quoted in the Beis Yosef. He talks about the possibility of putting a keli, a bowl, underneath your table so that when the oil lamp starts to drip on Shabbos, you're going to be able to just pull the table away and then the oil will fall into the bowl underneath it. So in this case, although the oil is dripping into the bowl and it's going to become a bittel kli mehechonet, being that you are not doing a direct by putting it underneath the dripping oil, because the dripping oil is not over the keli, because the keli is under the table. So memela, when you pull the table away, it's only a gram, it's only causing a bitul kli mehechonai. So you didn't put the keli under there to mevatel it, but rather you are just pulling something away and thereby indirectly causing that the oil should drip into the bowl and make the bowl muktza. So when you do bittel kli mehechonai bigrama, the Maril is saying that it's not a problem of bittel kli mehechonai. The Chazal did not aser it when you're doing it indirectly by pulling the table away, thereby having the oil drip into the bowl. In more modern application, you may have a situation of a air conditioner, especially the indoor type of portable units that have a tube where the evaporated water, air, where it evaporates and becomes water, drips out of the tube. So that water that comes from the air, from the moisture in the air that is evaporated in the cooling process, that water is considered neulad. It's not something that was extant, something that was here before Shabbos, so it's considered the muktzah of neulad. And that being the case, so the water that's dripping out is mukta. What could a person do if there is no keli underneath it, or if the keli underneath it filled up? So the keli underneath it filled up, the keli chayr is mukta because it's holding water, which is mukta. So you're going to have a problem of moving the container that is holding the dripping water because it's mukta. If there's nothing there and you want to put a keli over there, so basically you run into the same issue as you have over here. You have the dripping water that's going to drip into the keli, and the dripping water is mukta, so you are immobilizing the keli, and that's a bitul kli mehechanai, just like the dripping oil. So that would be a problem of bitul kli mehechanai also. So a person should not put a container to catch the dripping water of an air conditioner, because that water is mukta, and the mukta water will fall into the keli, thereby making it mukta and immobilizing it, and that's bitul kli mehechanai. We do mention in the shir that if such a situation arises, the person should ask a shayla, because sometimes it involves a situation of a graf shari, where it makes a mess that is disgusting to the person because it is in his living quarters, and the water that comes from there may not be so clean, and it might be a little bit disgusting, and then disgusting things may be removed, because even though they're mukta, but we have a heter of a graf shalri, a person is allowed to remove excrement if it's in a place that disgusts him. So there might be a possibility sometimes, depending on the place that is happening and the quality of the water that's coming out, there might be another way out with the graf shalri, which is discussed in the Bir Halacha over there, whether or not you could make a bitul kli mehechanai to save yourself from a situation of a graf shel re'i. So that is something that is discussed later on in Siman Shin Lamed Ches. At the end of it, there's a Bir Halacha that goes into it, but we're not going to be going into that right now. There's one more case that's discussed in Siman Reish Samech Hei by us. I'm sorry, in Siman Shin Hei, rather. In Sif Yutes, over there the Mechaber discusses a case of an animal that fell into a water hole, and the animal is in distress. It is Tzar Balei Chayim, and the animal is in distress, and the animal cannot get out of the ditch, and the animal could die, and in the meantime the animal is suffering. So in that case, you may want to put something underneath the legs of the animal so that the animal will be able to climb out and then be relieved from its distress. So because of the Tzar Balei Chayim, you are allowed to put something into the water. The example given is something like a kar v'keses, a pillow or a blanket that you will put underneath the animal's legs, and so the animal will be raised up so it can maybe get out of the ditch. And like that, you are being mevatel kli mehechanai. So the bitul kli mehechanai over there is number one, the Magen Avraham says, because you don't know if the animal will get off of the karen v'kasis. Perhaps the animal will remain standing on the karen v'kasis for the entire Shabbos and thereby immobilizing and making muktza your karen v'kasis. Also, the karen v'keses that is becoming wet, it's not usable anymore when it's wet, it may not dry before the end of Shabbos, and that would become mukta as well. So either way, it could become a situation of bitul kli mehechanai. So if need be, if you don't have a guy that could take the animal out of the water, and you cannot comfort the animal in its place, because the animal is too much distress, in that case, you are allowed to put your karen v'kasasais, you could put your pillows and your blankets underneath the animal, hoping that the animal will climb onto it and get out of the ditch. And even if it doesn't, it's okay, because the bitul kli mehechanai that is happening is something that is mutter b'mekayim Tzar Balei Chayim, because Tzar Balei Chayim is Dairaisa, and the bitul kli mehechanai is only b'drabanan and it's mutter. But the paiskim note that one should be careful, not every case of drabanan is pushed off because of a deraisa. But over here, this iser of bitul kli mehechanai in particular is pushed away because of the problem of tzar bal chaim, which is deraisa, and you are allowed to do the bitul kli mehechanai over here. What about using a disposable item like a tissue, a napkin, or a disposable cup, which becomes soiled in its use and then becomes no longer usable? So in that case, l'chaira, what you're doing is you're taking something that is usable and making it unusable and unfit. So that should be a case of bitul kli mehechanai. So in this, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasai discusses this, and he says that bitul kli mehechanai is where the item is meant to be used, and the way you're using it is immobilizing it, so then you have a problem of bitul kli mehechanai. But if the item is meant to be used in this manner that you are ruining it, that you cannot use it afterwards, once you use it up, in such a case it's not a bitul kli mehechanai, because bitul kli mehechanai translates, you are ruining the kli from its purpose that it was intended for. But we hear a disposable item was intended to be used once and then disposed of, so it's not a bitul kli mehechanai and it's okay. He says this would also be similar to putting waste in a garbage bag. The garbage bag becomes muksa. So if you were to put in a fresh garbage bag on Shabbos, l'chayre you are mevatel that garbage bag mehechanai, but the answer is no, it's not bitul kli mehechanai because the garbage bag is meant for that purpose of storing the muksa and not being able to be reused, and that's not considered bitul kli mehechanai. Now in Siman Reish Samach Hei, over here we were discussing the putting of an oil of a lamp underneath a bowl underneath a dripping oil lamp. So the halacha is over here in Sif Dalet, it says Neistin Kli Tachas Aner Lekabel Nitzaitzais Vipnei She'ein Bahem Mamish Ve'ein Kan Bitul Kli Mehechanai. So if you are putting something to catch sparks that are falling and you don't want the sparks to ignite and burn your tablecloth, so you will want to put a bowl underneath it. It's different than the previous case of putting the bowl underneath the dripping oil, because the nitzaitzes don't have mamish, they don't have any material residue afterwards, and therefore there's really nothing going to be in the bowl that will be making it muktzah, and therefore you're allowed to put there a bowl before Shabbos. But Avalo yitin l'teichei mayim, the Mechaber says, don't put water in that bowl, and afilu mi b'yoyim, and even if you put the bowl of water underneath the lamp to catch the sparks, you're putting water with water underneath, you should not do it even before Shabbos, mipnei shemekarev zman kibui hanitzaitzes. You are putting out the sparks sooner than if it would fall on its own to the ground. And because you are hastening the extinguishing of the nitzaitzes, one should not do that. Mikol mokem mutter liten mayim ba'ashos yishma likim behem erev Shabbos, kin the emes chav lekibui elak bi'ashemen. It is mutter to put water underneath oil, like people do by Ner Chanukah. If they have large containers, large lamps that are not going to be fully filled with oil, and you want to raise the level of the oil to the wick, to the top of the lamp, so you put water first, and then you put the oil on top, and the oil floats on top. Like that, you have water underneath it. Eventually, the water will extinguish the fire. When the wick comes down closer to the water, as the oil burns, it will extinguish the wick prematurely. But the Mechaber says it's okay because your intention is not to extinguish it. Your intention is to raise the oil so you could light in this container with the oil on top. So that would be allowed. Hagad, Ramah says, and he says, could be even if your intention is that it should put it out a little bit sooner so you could save some oil, it's still mutim. So now he mentions something else. He mentions that being that the oil is not really visible, it's really underneath the water is not really visible, it's underneath the oil. So it doesn't seem like you are putting water in the way of the fire to extinguish it. So mele, it's okay. So let's discuss over here what the issue is of placing a bowl of water under the falling sparks. So if you're just putting an empty bowl, we said it's not a problem of mechaber because there is no residue that is left in the bowl, so the bowl will not become muktzah because there's nothing there. The sparks don't have any residue. The Maril points out that if you want to catch maybe the wick that has a blackened, charred piece that's going to fall, and that piece will remain in the bowl, then it will become muktzah because there is residual waste in the bowl from the charred wick. So that would be awesome because you are left with muktzah in the bowl, and that's the same thing as by the case of the dripping oil. Now, what is the issue of putting a bowl of water underneath it before Shabbos to catch just falling sparks? What is the problem? So Tosfos on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis Masechta Shabbos Divrei Maschil Mipnei discusses this, and his opinion is that the concern is that if you're going to put it there before Shabbos, you might think that even on Shabbos you could put it there because what am I doing? I'm not doing anything. I'm just putting a bowl of water underneath and the sparks will go out and there's nothing there. So being that that is what you might think you could do, and if you do that on Shabbos, what might happen is that while you're putting the water into the bowl underneath the falling sparks, you might be actually extinguishing a spark that is falling when you put the water in. Or you might be placing the water with the bowl with the water underneath a falling spark or lifting it up to catch the spark. So you might forget yourself and do that if you are allowed to put a bowl there on Shabbos itself. Then you might come to the Isser of extinguishing of Kibui, and therefore the Chazal said that even before Shabbos one should not put a bowl of water over there because he might not see the difference putting there before Shabbos or on Shabbos. And like we said, putting there on Shabbos already might lead to a major problem of actually extinguishing the Nitzaisis. That is the opinion of Tosfos and Mem Zayin Beis. But basically, it would be permissible to cause the sparks to go out, per se, but it's only an issue because you might do more than just causing it. You might actually put it out, and that's the gzeira. Rabbeinu Tamha argues and says that when it's forbidden to put the kli with water because it causes, it's a grumma for the sparks to go out. So although you're not putting the water onto the sparks and you're not raising the water to catch the sparks, it's just there, and then eventually when the sparks fall, it will fall straight into the water. But that is setting up a situation of grumma, of causing the sparks to be extinguished sooner than they would on their own. And that type of a grumma, the Rabbeinu Tam says, is asur. So therefore, Chachamim said, don't put a bowl of water over there before Shabbos, because if you would do that on Shabbos, you would be doing something usser, because doing on Shabbos, you are actually setting up a situation to cause the sparks to go out sooner than if it would fall on its own. And that would be usser because of grumma by fire. So the question now is, if Rabbeinu Tam assers grumma, so then what would be with the cases of that we mentioned about putting the oil underneath the water underneath the oil, which will cause the fire to go out sooner when the oil burns down. Also, there's a Gemara in Daf Kuf Chaf Amir Aleph in the Masechta Shabbos. It talks about if there is a fire on a garment, if it's on one side, and you want to pour water onto the other side of the garment so that when the fire reaches the second side, it will not burn the garment. So over there, the Chachamim say it is mutter. So in that case, you're putting water in the line of the fire where the fire will be burning. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, this might be a problem because it's like putting water underneath the sparks where you cause it to go out sooner. So over there, the Gemara says a couple of cases. One case is if you have a fire, chas v'shalom, in a house and you want to block the fire from spreading all over the house. So the Chachamim say you could take barrels of water and make a barricade, a line of barrels with water, so that when the fire reaches that place, it'll make the barrels burst and the water will come gushing out and extinguish the fire. So you're setting up a situation of grama on the fire. Rabbi Yossi says if those barrels are brand new barrels which cannot sustain the heat and they will explode, so then you're not allowed to put it over there because the B.I.C. holds such a grama is forbidden. So according to the Chachamim, you are allowed to put this barricade of barrels of water in front of the advancing fire to stop it and to extinguish it. So that being the case, we need to understand, according to Rabbeinu Tam, why is that permissible? Why is that different than putting the bowl of water underneath the falling sparks, which Rabbeinu Tam asks is because of grama. In the opinion of Taisvis, grama is permissible. So Taisvis brings down that not only could you put a line of barrels of water in front of the fire, you could also put snow or ice blocks in front of the fire so that when the fire reaches this point, it will melt the snow and the ice and extinguish the fire. And that's an example given in the Yerushalmi that permits it, which L'chaira, according to Rabbeinu Tam, should also be usher. So Rabbeinu Tam says that regarding putting the barrels is not as bad as putting a bowl of water underneath the falling sparks, because the case of the barrel is something that is blocking something that is between the water and the fire. The water is not exactly directly in the line of the fire, so the fire will fall into the water because it's still inside a container. First, the fire has to burn the container to cause it to burst, and then the water will be released and extinguish the fire. So it's not directly in the line. However, by the case of the blocks of ice or the snow that you're putting in front of the fire, over there it is directly, there's nothing that's in between the fire and the water, and that should be similar to the case of not putting a bowl of water under the sparks, which according to the Rabbein Tam is also because of grama. So that should be also also, which in fact, Taisus says that perhaps Yerushalmi disagrees with Bavli on that point, and therefore, according to Bavli, you would not be allowed to put ice or snow in front of an advancing fire. However, Taisus says that perhaps the case of the ice and the snow is still less of a grama than putting the bowl of water directly under the sparks, where the sparks will fall directly into the fire. Here, the fire has to advance and then reach the ice and the snow and melt it, and so it's not a direct cause as much as it is when you put the bowl of water underneath the sparks. In that case, Rabbeinu Tam might also agree that Bavli could hold of that halacha of the Yerushalmi, that's not such a direct grama. It's not such a direct, indirect cause, so it's less direct, and therefore it's going to be mutter even according to Rabbeinu Tam. That's what Tosfos suggests to answer Rabbeinu Tam. And in the case of the water that you put underneath the oil, over there also your intention is not to extinguish it. So therefore Rabbeinu Tam says, if your intention is to extinguish it, so then that's a grama. But if your intention is not to extinguish it, it's just being put there to raise the oil, so therefore it's not an issue of grama, because that's not your intention and you're not doing it directly. Also, if you're putting the oil underneath, the water underneath the oil, with intention to raise it, according to the other opinion of Tosfos, that Tosfos himself says the issue of putting a bowl of water underneath the netzitzos is because you might do that on Shabbos, and while you're doing that, you might extinguish the sparks directly. That doesn't apply to a situation where you have water underneath the oil, because obviously you're not going to do that on Shabbos, because it's impossible to do that on Shabbos, because you're going to be pouring the water into an existing burning lamp. It's not going to be possible to do that. That's not something that will lead to something that you might do on Shabbos, which could lead to an Isser. So therefore, doing so before Shabbos is not a problem. Also, in the case of the garment, when you're putting it on the edge of the garment, you are not necessarily doing it to extinguish it, which would be a reason, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, that it's not a problem, because what you're doing is not to extinguish the fire, but rather the fire is burning on the clothing, and you're just stopping the advance of the fire so that it cannot burn over here. So it's not so much that you're extinguishing it, like when you have a gush of water falling onto the fire, that extinguishes it over here. It just doesn't get a chance to burn the wet side of the garment. So that is better than a garam kibui, because it's just preventing it from getting burned. And that's why Rabbeinu Tam would also agree to that case, that is permissible to be done. Now, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Yud Ches mentions another case where people would put a wax candle into a candlestick, and at the bottom of the candlestick they would put some water so that they could save some of the candlestick for another time, so it doesn't burn all the way down to the bottom. So let's say the candlestick was about 6 inches long, so 2 inches from the bottom they would fill up with water, and then when the candle burns down, it'll extinguish the flame, and you will save part of that candle, and it's not going to burn. But how are you doing that? You're doing it with water. So l'chayra, that is exactly like the iser of putting water before Shabbos in a bowl underneath the falling netzitzos. So l'chayra, that should be aser. So ein hachanami, it is aser according to everyone, because here your intention is specifically to extinguish the candle when it reaches that point, and therefore it should be usher even according to the opinion of the Tosfos, because this is your intention. It's similar to putting a bowl of water underneath a candle. However, there are Poskim that want to be makel over here, because they hold that dafke, when you have another container that is being placed underneath this falling sparks, it's usher, because when you do that, it's possible, when you do that before Shabbos, you might also think you could do that on Shabbos. So what you're going to do is, you're going to take a bowl and put it underneath on Shabbos, and then you might extinguish the sparks directly, like the Tosfos says, and that would be usher. But if it's in the same keli, if it's in the candlesticks, so you would never be able to do that on Shabbos, to pour water into the candlestick, because that everyone understands that you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So with that being the case, so perhaps in the same candlestick where you're putting the water in the bottom part of that same of the candlestick where the candle's burning, people would know that you cannot do that on Shabbos, and therefore before Shabbos you might be allowed to do that according to them. So he says there are places that say that, and b'shas hadchak, if necessary, you could rely on those paiskim that allow it being it's in the same container. However, everyone does hold, and everyone agrees, that if you want to put sand at the bottom, which will prevent it from going burning further down, that's not extinguishing the fire, that is preventing it from burning any further, and it's not extinguishing the fire like water extinguishes fire, so that difference is permissible, like we said, as far like that by the burning garment, where you put water on one side, now the fire cannot burn on that side. Here too, the sand acts as something that does not burn it, but it doesn't extinguish the fire like water, and that is mutter l'kula alma. So that's okay to be done. Now, let's go back to a couple of things mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, in Sif Gimel and in Sif Dalet, which are not mentioned in the Shir, but it's worthwhile mentioning it. At the end of Sif Gimel, the Ramah said that if you have a hanging, let's call it like a chandelier, which is burning with lamps of oil on the chandelier, and it's suspended from the ceiling, it says over there not to touch it, because if you touch it, being that it's hanging from the ceiling, when you touch it, it might move it, and if you move it, that will cause the oil to tip either towards the flame or away from the flame, which would be either extinguishing or lighting the flame. So that's what the Mechaber says over here. So the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Yud Aleph says that by a wax candle, that would not be a concern, because the wax candle, it does not burn more or less when you touch it and make it move a little bit. In Sif Katan Yud, the Mishnah Berurah infers from what the Ramah is saying that you cannot touch it because it will tip the oil and cause either it to burn better or to extinguish and not burn so well. So it's apparently if you touch a muktzah that's suspended and not something that's burning, just a muktzah that will move when you touch it. So let's say take your chandelier, and your chandelier is suspended from the ceiling. It doesn't have any oil lamp burning from it. It has electric bulbs burning. So those electric bulbs will not be affected by the movement. So are you allowed to touch it, being that the chandelier most probably will move? So apparently it's mashra from the Ramah that it's okay because it's not going to make any oil go closer to the fire and make it burn better. By electric bulbs, that's not going to happen. So therefore, if you touch it and it moves, it's okay. That's not called an isser of touching muktzah if it's going to move. However, we hold not like that. We hold that touching something, that when you touch it, is going to move, is considered moving muktzah, and that would be usser. So therefore, the poskim, the Magen Avraham, explains that the case over here is where on the lamp that is burning with oil lamps on top of it that's suspended from the ceiling, you also have things that are non-muksa items that are suspended over there. And being that it has non-muksa items over there, so it's not a muksa issue. So that's why the Ramah says it's only a question of making the fire burn better or worse by tipping it and moving the oil that's feeding the fire. So therefore, it's not a muktzah issue because it is a basis ledavra hamutzer ledavra haaser. It is a basis to not only the oil lamps that are burning, but let's say you have your salami suspended from there too, and therefore the salami is a davra that's not muktzah, and therefore your chandelier is not muktzah to be moved. It's only muktzah to be moved because it's going to tip the oil in the oil lamp, and that is an isser of mavir, of igniting the fire or making the oil move away from the wick, which is like kibush, which is like extinguishing by dimming the fire. So that's why the Ramah said that. But otherwise, any muksa item that if you touch it will move, so you should not do that, because that's considered touching over there is considered like moving it, because it's invariably going to move. In the end of Sif Dalid, the Ramah says that putting the water underneath the oil in a lamp is einoy mischaven. He's not mechaven for the extinguishing, and the water is not so noticeable. It's not like a separate bowl of water underneath it, because it's underneath the oil, so it's basically hidden, and therefore we said it's not a problem, and it's only gram kibui and it's mutter. So we mentioned gram kibui, which was machlokes in Tosfos, whether we're concerned to put not to put a bowl of water underneath the sparks that are falling, and that's considered gram kibui. And Rabbeinu Tam says that that's considered usser in itself, and the Tosfos holds that there's no isser in itself. It's only an isser of perhaps you might actually extinguish the sparks directly. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, gram kibui seems to be usser. And the Bir Halacha notes that in Siman Shin Lamed Dalet, we paskin that gram kibui is mutter. So what does it mean that the Rabbeinu Tam says gram kibui is usser? The chari that goes against what we paskin, gram kibui is mutter. So he wants to say that to do a gram kibui on Shabbos is only mutter where there is a pseida, when there's a loss, a monetary loss that is happening, there's a significant monetary loss that's happening, so then gram kibui is mutter, but in such a case of the falling sparks, we're not really concerned of anything major happening, and therefore it should be usser to put the bowl of water underneath the falling sparks, because there is no actual real danger and no real loss of money, and therefore you should not be done. But otherwise, gram kibui in Shin Lamedal is discussed, and over there it's mutter b'mokayim seida.